praise him throughout all time. All kindreds, all tongues will praise him for his goodness and grace. Join me with our scriptural affirmation today, which comes from Philemon, and it starts at verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient.
Such an one as Paul the aged, and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus.
I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds,
which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me.
Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels.
Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel.
But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefits should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly.
For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever.
Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord.
If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself.
If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account.
I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides.
Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord.
Having confidence in my obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say.
Dear Father, we praise you that this is so real, so amazing, that your word shows us how to live, how to treat each other, how to work out our differences. We're so grateful, Lord, that today you come to us to help us to learn more of you. So this day, Lord, open our minds and our hearts and allow us to grow in you. We thank you for being able to be together. Now, Lord, let us worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Truly, you are worthy. Today, we desire to look upon your heart, to know what you are thinking, so that we might think our thoughts after you. Today, Lord, open our eyes that we might see, open our ears that we might hear, and open our hearts that we might receive what you have for us. Desperately, we need you. Without you, we can do nothing, but with you. Oh, Father, may you be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. This book of Philemon, such a short little thing, and it's really kind of an amazing book to me because it helps me see the Bible in such unique and wonderful ways. You know, sometimes when you think about the Bible, you think that Jesus is, or the Father is giving us the ideal. And this ideal up here that it's unattainable and just something that we're always grasping after, something that we're always searching for and is always so nice and clean cut, you know. It's this is what happened and this is what you do when this happens, and it's everything comes out perfectly all the time. But you know, that's not the real. See, I am so glad that the Bible does not only give us an ideal, but it preaches to the real. It gives us an understanding of the Word of God that is real, an understanding of God Himself and the situations in this fallen world that are real. Let's face it. Our lives can be complex at times. I would like everything to be black and white, but I should have known that wouldn't work out because my name is Gray. It's just all, you know, mixed together, and sometimes it's hard to sort between all of the stuff. Sometimes it's hard to explain all of the things that we see. And we were going to start at verse 8 because that was a suggestion. But I think I'm going to start at verse 1. We're going to start at the very first verse here because I want you to see this situation for what it is and how intense it is. So often when we read the Word of God, we don't get the intensity of feeling that's going on there. You've got to imagine this situation. And so today I'm going to expand on it a little bit just so that you can feel it a little bit. This book of Philemon was probably written about the same time as Colossians and delivered to these folks by the same people that delivered the book of Colossians. Paul had never been to Colossae. He was probably in Ephesus at the time of the founding of the church in Colossae. And so he's writing to this particular man. And so it starts in verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, unique way to start. He was in jail. He was there for 2 years in Rome, and he was able in those days to rent his own house while he was under guard by a guard that was probably attached to him 24 hours a day. And so this prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother, that Timothy was his helper. Timothy was the one that he mentored and brought along with him. Unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. He's writing to a guy that had done work with him that he believed in, that he really cared about. He called him dearly beloved when he's writing to him. And to our beloved Apphia, this is probably Philemon's wife, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. This is probably a man who was a part of the Colossian church to the church in Philemon's house. He says, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, that unmerited favor, that empowering that allows us to be Christians. Now, don't let anybody fool you. This being a Christian thing is challenging at times. It can be hard at times. And we need his power if we are to live in line with the truth. We need his power if we're to get this thing right. And he's saying, grace to you and peace. You can relax in this thing because I got you. There's peace. We're not at war. You and I'm with you. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. It is such a neat thing when somebody says, I thank God for you. Do you know, that is a really, really comforting thing. When somebody says that there's something about you, the way that you've behaved, the way that you've lived, the way that you are, that I thank God for you. And I thank God for you, making mention of thee always in my prayers. I appreciate people that pray for me. That is a really wonderful thing. Some of you probably think that I take that lightly when you say you pray for me, but I really like it when you pray for me. You know, as long as you're not praying at me, you know, some of you might be praying, get him, Lord. He's not, get him. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Get him, you know. No. And I guess that would be okay, too, because if I've got to be gotten, let me be gotten by God. You know, so let it be that we pray for each other. And he's making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith. It is a special thing to have a good reputation, isn't it? It's a special thing when you know that you know that your reputation out there is rock solid, that people have heard of you. And here Paul had heard that this man was living with love and faith. That's pretty interesting. In parts of the Bible, it's fascinating. Most of the Bible, Paul says faith and love. It becomes significant that he says love first here and faith afterwards. But love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. I know you. I've heard about you. And I am appreciative of what God is doing in, through, and around you. That the communication of thy faith, the way that you show yourself as faithful, the way that you show yourself as being a person of God, the way that you carry yourself, the communication of faith, I want it to become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I want people to see you and recognize that there is a God and he's good. I want you to be a person that you let your life so shine among men that they see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. I want you to be that kind of person that when people see you, that you are changed, that when people see you, there's a difference made. The communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus, as we have both great joy and consolation in thy love. It's a good thing to know that the people around you, the people that you know, are led by God. That you're in a community of people that care about God and that God wants to use. It is special to be with you when I know that God uses you. Some people that you know, you could just be in their presence and it's just a good thing. They don't have to say a whole lot. They don't have to do a whole lot. You just know that you know that they're of God, and that is a special thing. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Refreshed. I don't know about you, but this has been a wearying age. You can get weary in the world today. you turn on the news and you see the stuff that happens and it wearies you. You look at what's going on in your family and it wearies you. You go through your everyday life and it wearies you. You're still dealing with some of the same old problems that you've been dealing with for so long and it wearies you and you just get weary. Oh, it's challenging and it is good when you can be refreshed, to be in the presence of someone who refreshes you, to be in the presence that's like a tall glass of cool water. They refresh you and you feel like because you've been in their presence, you can go on, you can fight on, you can be what you're supposed to be. There's a reason for you. You're refreshed. You're not drained. Some people just suck off of you. You know, when they're around them, it's just like, you just like, oh, they can't give anymore. But when you're with them, they give to you. And they give, and you're refreshed. Refreshing people. They bring you joy. They allow you peace. You feel their love. They encourage your faith. They see the goodness in you. They encourage your self-control. They even help you to walk in patience. They don't make you impatient. They refresh you. And here was a man who refreshed others. So then he begins to continue to talk to him about something he could have been much more direct in the approach that he was going to be to him, but he wasn't direct at all as Paul is writing to Philemon. He says, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee, which is convenient." I might be really, really bold to do this. I might be really, really bold to make you do what I'm going to tell you to do because, quite frankly, I am an apostle. I'm pretty special. I know God, and I know what's right to do, and I know what you should do in this situation. I could do that. I could be bold. Yet for love's sake, for love's sake, that's not how we're going to approach this situation. For love's sake, we're going to approach this situation differently. For love's sakes, I'd rather beseech thee. I'm coming asking gently. I'm coming asking humbly, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul the agent. This word is very close in spelling to the same word in the Greek. It's very close in spelling to the same word as ambassador. Some think that he might have been saying, well, I'm an ambassador. But I don't think so. I think he was actually saying, I'm just the old man who's been around for a while. I'm just the old man that maybe you ought to hear. I'm Paul the aged. I'm the one who's been around, who's loved for a long time, and now I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I've been trying to do the right thing, and because I've been doing the right thing, the same kind of thing that you're trying to do, I'm a prisoner in jail. For that reason, I want you to hear me. I want you to listen to me. By the way, do you have a testimony that people can listen to you because of who you are and what you've done in the past? When people look at you, do they listen to you? When you're telling them something about the Christian life, how to live as a disciple, do they listen to you because of how they have seen you behave? You ought to think about that. You know, when you tell somebody, will they believe you? Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. I'm coming to you on behalf of somebody. I'm coming to you on behalf of this one that is my son, someone who I love, someone who I care about. I'm coming to you on behalf of Onesimus. Philemon may be feeling a little set up about this point. Oh, you want to talk to me about Onesimus? Do you know who that useless guy is? That was my slave. That was the guy I owned. I paid good money for him. He cost me. He cost me. He left me and cost me. In our 2021 ears, we're going, slave? What's a Christian doing having a slave? What's a Christian doing living that way, feeling offended that a slave would leave him? How does this work? Somewhere between 80-85% of the people of that region were slaves in those days. Slavery was a thing then. And Paul could have taken the attitude, I'm going to fight against slavery. We'll have no more slaves. But he would have had to have changed all of society. He would have had to have changed everything. Sometimes we need to recognize that we need to live as Christians in the midst of how society is now. Me saying that doesn't go over well for a lot of people today. I get it. But let's go on with the scripture here. Says in verse 10 again, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. I led him to the Lord even while I was here in prison, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. That's a play on his name that they give him here. We don't even know for sure that was Onesimus his given name when he was born, because there are slave names all over that area, that region, where it just shows that slaves were usually named either profitable, Onesimus, or unprofitable. This guy's identity had been stolen, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. He has been changed. He's accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, and his life has been forever changed. He has ever been made different. He is now profitable. He's now one who is going to heaven. He's now one who is your brother. He is now one who is your equal. He is now someone that you need to think differently about. He is now Onesimus, whom I would have retained with me. Paul is saying, I would have kept him with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. This guy was doing the work here. He was really helpful. And I know that if you had been here, you would have been helpful, but you ain't here. And he was. And he was with me. And he was doing good things. And I am glad to have had him. And I thought about really just saying, stay with me. Because, you know, back in Deuteronomy, it says you don't have to return a slave to his master in certain cases. And maybe I could have made the case that he didn't have to return in this particular thing because he was a new man in Christ. I could have done that. But without thy mind, would I do nothing? I want to give you a chance to do the right thing. I want to give you a chance to think rightly. I want to give you a chance to understand what's going on here. Without thy mind, without you thinking this way, Philemon, would I do nothing, that thy benefits should not be, as it were, of necessity. I'm not going to steal him from you. I'm not going to take him from you. I'm not going to coerce him from you. No, I don't want to do that. That thy benefit should not be, as it were, of a necessity, but willingly. Willingly, I want you to be able to do this. Willingly, I want you to be able to get it. Willingly, I want you to do the right thing. Willingly. We try to get so many people to do things by the law. We try to get people to do things out of guilt. But it's time that we help Christians to do the right thing out of a good change of their heart, willingly. Without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Maybe he escaped from you for a bit, that he was just to come back and continue to be your slave. That was a hard line for me. I'm going to tell you, think about this. Paul is in prison. He's not going anywhere. Philemon doesn't know where Onesimus is. Onesimus could have said to Paul, now, I appreciate the fact that I am a brand new man in Christ. I've been changed. Down deep inside, I'm different. And I'm going to be different somewhere else, not back at Philemon's place. I'm going to be different somewhere else. I am not going back to slavery. I'm going to be different somewhere else. I am not going to have someone who tells me when to get up and when to go to bed and when to work and when not to work. I am not going to be a slave anymore. I don't want to be a slave. I don't want to have someone else control my whole thing. I don't want that. Can you imagine him and Paul having this discussion? Onesimus, I understand. I understand how you feel. I understand that you don't want to go through this. I understand that this is not a good thing. And I understand it just doesn't seem to be fair. But do you trust God? Do you trust that that the sovereign God is in control of all things. Do you trust him? Do you want to see God work in such a way that everybody around us goes, wow, what an amazing God he is, that we can be content even in this horrid situation? I know you don't want to return, but what a testimony it will be when you walk back to this man and submit to this one who legally is in control of your fate. But Paul, what happened to that freedom in Christ? Paul, I'm free. I've been changed. I've been made different. Why do I have to go there? You don't have to go, Onesimus, unless you want people to see the power of God. You don't have to go, Onesimus, unless you believe God can keep you in any situation. You don't have to go, Onesimus, but you ought to go and show the goodness of our God. And so Onesimus, this slave, goes back and he carries the letter along with Epaphras, I believe, to Colossae, and they deliver the letter of Colossians, but then he delivers a personal letter to Philemon. And he has got to depend on Philemon having been so very much changed that his mind would get changed, that he would be different, that he would think different about this slavery thing, that he would treat him like a man, maybe for the first time in his life. Verse 16. Well, verse 15 again, please. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou should receive him forever, Philemon. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. Do you keep your brother as a slave? Do you keep your brother as subservient to you? Is that how you treat your family? A brother beloved, especially to me. If you don't think of him as a brother, I'm letting you know, Philemon, I think of him as a brother. How are you messing with my family? But how much more unto thee? He should be more of that to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If you think you and I are working together, if you think you and I are part of the same group, if you think you and I should be together, I want you to treat him as you would treat me. And listen, I know you went through some stuff. I know that he probably took a little money on the way out. He probably, you know, hawked some of your goods or something just so that he'd have money to travel around. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, If there's anything that he broke or didn't do right, or it just cost you because you didn't have the help that you were supposed to have, you put that on my account. Do you live in such a way that when someone comes to know Jesus Christ, you're willing to pick up some of their bills, some of their stuff, that you help them along? Or you just say, good boy, I'm glad you did that. Or do you step in and love them so much that you make a difference in their life? You see, it's one thing to get them to say some words, but it's a whole nother thing is to step in and help them to live right. This guy had some bills because of the situation. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put it on mine account. I want to make clear, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. In other words, this is a legal document. I'll pay. I will repay everything he owes you. Albeit not to say this, by the way, how much you owe me, even your own self. He had led this man to the Lord. I helped you to step out of darkness into a marvelous light. I helped you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You owe me. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels. Remember, I said that you refreshed other people. I said that you refreshed those other folks. What about me? Refresh my bowels. Refresh me in the Lord. I have confidence you will obey. Not because I've twisted your arm, but because I know that you've been called to refresh people. And you're just going to do what you've been called to do in God. You're doing what God has called you to do. Do you do what God has called you to do? Do you do what you have been called to do? Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt do also more then I say, and Onesimus is standing there saying, oh Lord, let him do it. What is it going to mean, Lord? I've submitted myself to this. This is crazy. I could have ran away. And guess what? Scripture doesn't tell you what happened. So we're not making any promises. What I'm saying is you should do the right thing in the situation that God has put you in. Do what is right. Live by the word of God. Let every word of God direct your life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In my modern sensibilities, I would like to say, well, that just goes to show you we should just wipe out all slavery and there should be this for everybody and whatever it is but the reality is that's not how we live in this world. This world is full of pain and hurt. There are still people in all kinds of slavery, sex trafficking, and there's still people that are stuck in pain and hurt. What do we do with someone who has caused all kinds of pain because of a drug addiction, and then that person gets radically saved? How do we deal with that? How do we deal with the things that we have done and we can't fix unless we submit ourselves to those that we don't know are going to do the right thing? Stop lying to ourselves about how easy it is, and recognize that without the power of the living God, we can't do this. So, Father, we call upon you this day and ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would pour out upon us, that you would help us to have the heart of an Onesimus, who once he knew that he had been changed, was willing to do whatever it took to glorify you. Let us be like a Philemon who wanted to refresh the bowels of the folks. Let us be like a Paul who decided to take on the debt that was not his so that another could be free. Are you willing to take on the debt of another so that they can be free? Are you willing to help? Are you willing to care? It's time for us to stand in the gap so that people might live. Pray with me. Oh, Father, today, let us be those that will help, who won't look for the help from government, from a mob, who won't run from the consequences of their action, but will submit to you, believing that you have the answer. It starts with us confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus, agreeing with him about the fact that he is our Savior, the only one who could deliver us, about believing that he is Lord, having the right to determine what goes on in our life, what happens with us, even when it's hard. He is Lord. He is Savior. Oh, but if you will do that, you will be amazed that even in the midst of hard things, you will be refreshed. Today is the day. Receive him if you will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. If while Maureen is playing, God moves on your heart, feel free to come to the altar and pray. Or maybe you just need to talk to the person next to you and say, what's he mean? What should I do? Help me. Whatever it is, let God change you this day. Let God have his way.